Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 88 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by the only man I know who can handle his Adderall better than the president, Brian. Brian, how are you doing today, my friend?
Surprisingly, this week I am not on Adderall. I decided, I decided that it was causing me to sniff a lot while talking in public, and it was something that was starting to bother me. I think I listened to a couple episodes ago, and you could hear me, you know, like every couple seconds or so, and it was just, it was unprofessional, but it was embarrassing. You know, my use of Adderall, crushing it up and snorting it, had just reached levels that it was embarrassing. I wasn't representing the human being that I wanted to be. And you deserve better, Ron. You deserve, if the amount of effort you put into this podcast, you deserve someone that's going to be here in the moment, present with you, not somebody who's, hyped up on Jiggly Juice.
Well, I appreciate the effort. I hope you can stay off the smack. And in the meantime, let's move on to our next drug of choice.
Drink of the week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Sláinte.
Prost.
Drink of the week. Drink of the week.
All right. No time this past week for a drink of the week poll. Lots of stuff to get to this episode, so I say we just get right through this drink of the week.
Cough
this down.
Ron.
Get it going. Brian, what are you drinking this week?
Ron, you...
Yes.
No. There's a reason why we didn't have a drink of the week poll.
What are you drinking this week, Brian? It's what the people want to know.
I think the people want to know why in 2020, in the second episode of the year, we are not holding a drink of the week poll.
Well, I mean, we're both busy individuals. I don't know that our listeners want to be bored by all the details.
Have you forgotten what took place last week?
I'm not really a detail guy, so you might have to refresh my memory.
Okay, last week, and it was only 8 days ago. Which I'm surprised your memory has lapsed. A week ago, we held held to a promise that we made at the end of 2019 to our listeners, which is that we were going to be bringing back the Drink of the Week poll. So we were recording on New Year's Day and decided to have two theme beverages that both enjoyed the ingredient champagne or Prosecco, or as you like to call it, sparkling wine. If you remember, I nominated the New Year's Sparkler, and you nominated something called the Tangerine Elderflower Spritz.
It sounds vaguely familiar now that you're talking about it.
Now, do you recall which drink won the Facebook poll?
I don't. I remember drinking both. So to be honest, okay. I'm not even exactly sure what happened with the poll.
I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. The Tangerine Elderflower Spritz won by a vote of 8-7.
That's pretty close.
One vote was the deciding factor. Now, and this is the part that I find very suspicious that you don't recall, is that one of the votes for the Tangerine Elderflower Spritz was a previously unknown account that had been created on Facebook seemingly the week of the poll. First name, Rush, middle initial, N, last name, Asset. Rush N Asset.
And you know, when you say it like that, it sounds like Russian Asset.
Oh, it very much sounds like Russian accent.
That's crazy, man. Crazy.
Tangerine Elderflower Spritz, quote unquote, won the poll, so that was the drink that I had to drink, and I vowed during the episode that I would get to the bottom of what took place during the Drink of the Week poll for the first week of 2020, and a lot's happened.
And what has happened? I mean,
I'll tell you exactly.
I think we should just really get through this, but
I will tell you exactly what happened.
Okay,
I went into my pockets and I hired a private investigator His name is Viktor Yushchenko. He is a Ukrainian gentleman. The reason why I hired him was because I reached out to Facebook. They told me that they would be unable to provide me with the IP address that this Rush N Asset account was created on because there was a server that was missing that
really?
Held the records of all new accounts that were created on Facebook between the period of time of December 27th, 2019 and December 29th, 2019. This server was originally held in Chappaqua, New York, which I don't know whether you're familiar with.
It's a suburb north
of New York City in Westchester County, relatively affluent. They said that the server is missing. They did say to me that they the last time they had seen this server, it was connected to their network in Tehran, Iran. So I hired my Ukrainian investigator, Viktor Yushchenko. I hired him because I figured he would be able to, you know, if anybody can find missing servers, we know it's the Ukrainians.
Well,
so I sent him on my dime, and you know, I'm not that free spending of my money. On my dime,
if you're not in a strip club, no.
I sent Viktor to Tehran, Iran, to find this missing server. He was supposed to fly back 2 days ago, and I have not heard from him. And I'm getting concerned.
Do you happen to recall what he was flying on? What airline?
I believe it was a Ukrainian airline. I don't recall, the name of it, but he did say
was it flight 752, perhaps?
I'd have to check my records. I did purchase the ticket on Expedia for him. I remember that it was a Boeing 737 because he said that he did not want to fly on any single engine plane. So I knew I put him on something that was going to be safe, secure, American made. We would all be happy with. Why?
Was he flying to Kiev, the Ukrainian capital?
Well, yeah, that's where he lives.
I'm just saying, again, I don't want to, you know, frighten his family, but it's very possible he could have been on that that plane that was shot down by the Iranians the other day.
They shot down a plane?
Apparently, that plane that crashed with 176 people on board, apparently hit by an Iranian missile.
I am unaware that there was a plane crash involving a Ukrainian flight going out of Tehran. This does not bode well for my investigation. It's what's really important here.
Any information that he might have gotten, even if he had the server on him, I would think that's pretty much gone now.
It's possible he uploaded something to the cloud. We'll have to see. But I'm
it's
very
possible,
disappointed.
It's possible, but not probable.
I would hate to think, Ron, that you are the kind of person that would go to incredible lengths to ensure that the truth never reaches the public in what took place a week ago in our Drink of the Week poll.
Are you accusing me of something? If you're accusing me of something, just come out and say it. Be a man. Just come out and say it.
What I'm saying is that I hope that what I believe is not what's taking place here.
And just say it then. Don't mince words. Don't dance around the subject. Say what you what you're thinking.
Did you give the order?
I don't know what you're talking about. You think You think I would eliminate 176 people just for this silly little Drink of the Week poll?
Do I think you're capable of it? Yes. Do I think you did it? I don't have enough information, but if I fail to make future contact with Viktor Yushchenko, I will continue the investigation. I reached out to a friend of mine, Mr. Orenthal Simpson, who is currently conducting his investigation on a matter that took place about 25 years ago. He's looking for the killers of some close family friends of his. So he is going to hook me up with some of the private investigators he is using.
Well, you know what's disturbing to me, Brian, is the fact that apparently you reached out this week to Ivanka Trump's voting machine company to contract them to handle our Drink of the Week votes moving forward.
I find that to be
very dangerous.
Dangerous how?
I think there could be some improprieties there.
I'm shocked that you would imply under any circumstances that Facebook is a secure method to continue our Drink of the Week poll. It just so happens that the daughter of the President of the United States is a part owner in a company that provides voting booths where elections can be held. If she's not above the law, our whole system falls apart. I mean, we're talking about a pillar of truth, of honesty, integrity. Ivanka Trump, I did ask her to see if how would we go about doing a online poll using her company's goods and services.
Very disappointing. The one thing that disappoints me the most is that you feel that I would besmirch the good name of the Drink of the Week, that you feel that I would bring it down somehow, that I would disrespect it in some way, shape, or form. I love the Drink of the Week. I love it so much that I have signed us up a new sponsor for Drink of the Week. That's right. Drink of the Week is now sponsored by Papa John. Not Papa John's the pizza chain, but Papa John Schnatter himself. So I am proud to roll out our brand new Drink of the Week theme.
Drink of the Week.
Yo, Papa John. Feeding the team. 50 pizzas, 30 days.
Drink of the Week. Drink of the Week. Drink of the Week.
So congrats to us. Papa John will be a proud sponsor and really bring much needed integrity back to Drink of the Week. So Brian, what are you drinking this week? I've asked it before. Maybe I'll get an answer this time.
I am drinking a Jack and Coke.
Oh, very boring. Very basic.
Well, I'm waiting for my Tavor box to come in.
All right. Well,
what are you drinking, Ron?
So I am drinking. This was something I got from Tavor a while back. This is from the brewery in Orange County, California. That's brewery.
What brewery?
B-R-U-E-R-Y.
No. What brewery?
It's don't do that. Who's on first? Crap with me, my friend. So this is a drink called Orjata. It is a blonde ale brewed with rice, lactose, cinnamon, and vanilla. It's their spin on horchata. So let's.
Ew, that is
really.
That's
not ready.
First off, horchata or whatever the hell that's called. I tried it once. It was disgusting.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't care for it. Are you enjoying that?
This is very tasty. I would highly recommend it to anybody out there.
Okay, well, I'm gonna admit ignorance on this front. But what is lactose? Why would they put that in a beer?
Lactose. I mean, because you don't really want to add, you know, actual milk or cream to a beer. So lactose is something you can add to it to give it that creamy flavor. And this really does have a creamy mouthfeel. And if you know me, I like a creamy mouthfeel.
But what exactly is lactose?
Well, I mean, what like, is it a brewery guy?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're lactose intolerant, then lactose has to be a thing.
Can you let me fucking talk? It's a large sugar molecule that is made up of two smaller sugar molecules, glucose and galactose.
Well,
so
when
people
you say
who
it like
are
that,
lactose intolerant, they just can't handle sugar? Isn't that called diabetes?
No, because lactose is specific for dairy.
Okay, but it's just sugar.
Apparently it's in dairy somehow. Listen, all I know is the beer tastes good.
That's really all that counts.
All right.
Now I have a question. If people were too interested in having the same access to the high quality spirits that you are imbibing this week during the Drink of the Week poll, how would they go about doing that?
Are you referring to the new Papa John Drink of the Week?
Drink of the Week.
Yo, Papa John. Feeding the team. 50 pizzas, 30 days.
Drink of the Week. Drink of the Week. drink of the week.
So if you also wanted to curate your own box from Tavor, you can download the Tavor app on your phone. And what is that referral code that they can use, Brian?
525-401. Papa here. That's the part that kills me. It slays me every time I hear it. Like, Papa here. Like, he says it with such confidence.
Like, you're just going to know it's Papa.
It's Papa. I know who he is. Papa. Right. Papa. Papa, can you hear me, Papa?
Well, we're going to enjoy these drinks for the rest of the episode. We might put up a drink of the week poll if we can track down this investigator or come to some sort of contract with the Ivanka Trump group. But if you have any suggestions, shoot it to us on our social media, Facebook or Twitter, or go to ronandbrianpodcast.com. In the meantime, let's talk about some racism.
This
week
in
racism.
Well, not much of a contest this past week. Patricia Zammit knocked off the Rest Stop Racist 83% to 17% for her first win, our first win of the 2020, first win of the decade. Brian, you called this one. Talk to me.
Well, it was very clear. I think, I don't want to say that I have my finger on the pulse of racism. But, the cool, calculated racism, it struggles up against the lunatic fringe.
All right. Let's see what stories we were looking at this week going down to Mississippi. Governor Phil Bryant stated that if the state elects the African-American Democrat running for Senate, the state would, quote, take that first step into 1,000 years of darkness. He was referring to Mike Espy, who is running against incumbent Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith. Hyde-Smith made headlines, if you remember, during her last campaign against Espy when she said that she would be in the front row at a public lynching. Great state, that Mississippi.
Let's see.
A teacher at Longwood High School in Long Island presented a slideshow that included a photo of four black students at the Bronx Zoo with the caption, "Monkey Do." The slide was included in between slides of a monkey and a gorilla. Parents of the students are now considering a lawsuit against the school district.
Yeah, I would say that's a good call.
Oliver Peck, who I didn't realize was a thing before this week, announced on Instagram that he will no longer be a judge on the show Ink Master after photos emerged of him in blackface. TMZ published photos from his old MySpace page, one showing him covering his body and face with brown paint, one showing him wearing brown face paint, an Afro wig, and a superhero costume with the letter N on the front of it, and a third where he was dressed in a basketball uniform with his entire body covered in paint. So maybe Paint Master is a better term rather than Ink Master. It seems to be an excessive amount of blackface that guy was into, Brian.
Well, it'd be one thing if it was a one-time deal. He could say, oh, I didn't realize. But it seems like he went back to the well a few too many times. And if there's anything we know, you can get away with one. I mean, Justin Trudeau did blackface. He is still Prime Minister of Canada. You can do it once.
Ralph Northam in Virginia, governor, he did it twice and hung in there. But I think three times, I think wearing the superhero costume with the N on the front, you cross some lines there that I think people don't let you come back from.
Can I say something which may not be popular at the moment?
I mean, you can, and I guess we can always edit it out if needed.
Don't you feel that cancel culture has gone a tad far when we are taking down a judge on Celebrity Inc.? What is the show again?
Ink Master.
Have you ever heard of this show before this story came by?
Literally never heard of it. I've heard of Black Ink. I've heard of Miami
Black Ink.
Ink
is an awesome show.
Black Ink,
I've actually watched a few times. That is an awesome show. And it might just be your average reality show, but because I exposed myself to so few of them. But these are, what is it? It's in New York or Miami?
I believe Black Ink is New York.
But it's the interpersonal dynamics of a tattoo shop in an African-American neighborhood in New York City. So you've got relationship drama, you've got business drama, you've got friend drama, and you've got people that don't enunciate their words properly. And it is each episode I've watched, and I think I've watched probably about a half a dozen, I walked away with at least two new terms that I had never heard of before, but now are part of my lexicon.
All right. Well, let's get away from Brian's racism and find out who our contestant is for Racist of the Week. So we're going to locally here, just outside of Philadelphia. Anwar Wright took his family to eat at an Applebee's in Norristown, Pennsylvania. Bad choice to begin with. They were harassed by a drunk white man who called them terrorists, and the Applebee's manager asked Anwar's family and his drunk man, all of them, to leave the restaurant. We do have a short clip of audio here.
You're a terrorist, you are.
I am?
Yeah, you
are. Why is that? Why am I a terrorist?
Because you would turn it off if you're a real
man. Why am I a terrorist?
You'd turn it off if you're
man. But why am I a terrorist? Because I'm wearing Muslim. Because I'm wearing Muslim garb. That's why I'm a terrorist.
Sort of pleasant individual there. So we're going to refer to him. There's ironically, the internet has not identified this man yet, which is shocking in this day and age. But we're just going to call him the Applebee's $1 racist. So we've got the Applebee's $1 racist going up against Patricia Zammit. She's looking for her second win. We'll have the polls up shortly on Facebook and on Twitter. Place your vote, decide who's going to win, and we'll let you know next week. Brian, I'm going to throw it over to you because you're pretty damn good at picking these racists. What do you think?
Well, I think we're going to have a repeat winner when we sit a week away, from now. Applebee racist, obviously Pennsylvania always, you know, sparks a little light in my heart. You know that the guy's going to bring the heat. It didn't really capture the racism. You know, it's almost just like the audio here was picked up at the end of the racist rant. And it leaves me longing for more. I think we're going to have a repeat winner.
It goes back to your body cam statement that you've made previously. You need more audio to be effective. Although
am I asking for that much?
You're not. I don't think you are. There were a few people that mentioned me, though, that they've been disappointed in the racists so far this year. And I think
that's
the racists that have it the toughest are the racists at the beginning of the year. Because we've just gone through the tournament. We've highlighted 16 A-list racists. I mean, you go from Gene Kramer knocking off Days and Dave the last week of the year. You really need to bring the heat that first week of January. I mean, I think Patricia Zammit, I agree with you. I think she gets her second win. But is she that great a racist? The year will decide.
I agree. That's actually a really astute point you made. And it's why I like doing this podcast with you. Because you bring a perspective to the world of racism that I think I lack.
It's all about perspective. It's all about being extra woke, Brian.
Which, let's face it. You are.
All right. Let's talk about what's bothering us this week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what's your beef?
This week it is Instagram.
Oh, and why is that?
Because, are you familiar with the name Kaylin Ward?
I can't say that I am.
Are you familiar with the account on Instagram called the Naked Philanthropist?
Oh, now that you say that, yes, I am. I am familiar. I have become familiar in this past week.
Oh, I have become very familiar with Kaylin Ward over the past week. Now, here is a woman. She is 20, so she is... at an age where she's still, how do I say this, exploring the subtleties of privacy settings and guidelines in a community, in an online community environment. Now, this woman was horrified by the Australian bushfires.
As we all were.
And the devastation that is still taking place to this day in Australia. I think we've all... at least those who are as woke as you and I think everybody has seen the image of the kangaroo that has been burned to death.
Yes.
Attached to the fence. I think we have all been pained looking at photos of injured koala bears, who I will say don't appear to be very bright.
Well, I mean, it's a koala bear. I mean, they're supposed to be cute. I don't know if they're known for their intelligence.
Definitely not. They're very slow moving, is all I'm getting. Anyway, this woman on Instagram said that she would send a naked photo of herself to anybody who showed proof that they had donated at least $10 to a list of Australian charities. She would send a nude photo in their DMs.
It's a very worthy cause, I think. I applaud her.
Well, you know who doesn't applaud her is Instagram, because they shut her account down for violating their community standards.
Really? I mean, she raised like $500,000 for the Australian folks.
And she would have raised $500,010 had I found out about this story before they shut her account down, because I did not get an opportunity to donate and show her proof that I had donated. And Google search on their dark web for Kaylin Ward has yet to show exactly what this woman looks like nude. I am upset at Instagram. Here was a moment where they could have taken a step back, looked at the larger picture, seen the money that this woman was raising, the good that it was going to do. Instead, they sat there and thought about precious little snowflakes and closed down her account.
Listen, so there is no one on this planet that is more proactive and more supportive of Australian Bush than you. So I understand.
Of course.
I understand your anger. I get it.
Thank you. It's. I don't think I'm asking for that much.
No, you're not. So my beef this week, Brian, is actually with our good friends at Tavor.
What?
And I hate to say that, but you know, Brian and I are attempting to curate each a box that we will have beers, the same beers going to each of us. And for whatever reason, there are a lot of great beers that show up in Brian's Tavor app that I do not have available to me, and a lot that show up in my app that aren't available to Brian. So it's like, why can't they just get beers that are more widely available to the different states? So again, a minor beef, but a beef nonetheless.
Have you complained to them?
I haven't as of yet, because it's easier to just sit here and complain to you.
Okay.
I mean, if I'm being 100% honest.
I would assume that you are 100% honest with all aspects.
Which is why your comments towards me regarding the Drink of the Week poll are especially hurtful.
Well, I think that considering that you may have made arrangements to have an airplane taken out by an Iranian missile. Also, you can say that you won a Drink of the Week poll. I think it says a lot about your character.
All right. So let's talk about football, Brian. A hell of a wild card weekend.
Was it really?
Some many shocking events that happened. But props to you. You picked Seattle. It was a toss up by game time, but you were had Seattle -1.5 when you made the pick. Not going to accuse you of having the guy from the Texans or not the Texans guy from the Seahawks nail Carson Wentz in the head with his helmet to knock him out of the game.
That was a legit hit. I'm sorry, Ron. That was a legit hit.
I don't know. You're not supposed to lead with the helmet, my friend. That's my friend. That's just what I'm thinking.
Okay, but he was running forward. He was falling forward. How could he have not led with the head?
Listen, regardless, you won that bet. So congratulations to you.
Well, I'll accept your congratulations, but I'm also going to congratulate you on picking the Titans, getting 5 against the Patriots.
That was
you
sweet.
You sat there a week ago and said that the New England Patriots were not the team that everybody was betting on. That they were not going to bring it. And in fact, they did not bring it, getting knocked out in the wild card round. Tom Brady goes home early for the first time in as long as I can remember. Titans getting 5, winning by 7. Congratulations on that, Ron.
Why, thank you. I will also give you props on that Saints-Vikings game. You knew the Saints were not as good as their record stated. The Saints were 7.5-point favorites. You were like, you know what? Screw it. Give me Vikings +7.5. You didn't need any of those points. Vikings with the big 6-point win in overtime. So, kudos.
if we're going to give kudos, can I at least congratulate you? And this one may upset you a little bit, but one of the issues that the gambling world faces is that people like to bet on their favorite team. They like to bet on the hometown. They like to put their money where their heart is. But not you, my friend. You looked at the Seahawks-Eagles matchup last week, and you said, listen, Philly's got my heart, but they're not going to have my wallet. Seattle's coming into town, laying 1.5 points. They are a team that has had an incredible second half. I remember specifically you saying Eagles are lucky. You know, they don't have any depth on the quarterback position. Heaven forbid something happens to their starter, Big Dick Nick Foles. We have no idea what's going to happen for the rest of the game. I don't trust it. He's injury prone. He's kind of made out of a thin layer of glass, a little tap, and he's going to be out for the rest of the game. Let me bet the Seahawks. I applaud you for that, because Seahawks won the whole game 17-9, Ron.
Right.
Another incredible week in the NFL.
Well, we got divisional round coming up this weekend. So let's go through. Let's see where each of us think these four games are going to shake out.
Sure.
We've got those miracle Minnesota Vikings going on the road to San Francisco. Niners are favored by 7. Who do you like in that game?
I was impressed with the Vikings last week. I'm going to take them again, getting 7 points.
Interesting. Well, I like the Niners at home, getting that additional week of rest. I think the Vikings put out so much emotion. I think they come out flat. I'm taking the Niners -7.
Okay.
Then in the next, the nightcap on Saturday, we've got those Tennessee Titans looking for another upset as they head into Baltimore. Baltimore is favored by 10. A big line on that one. A little disrespectful to the Titans, don't you think?
Well, you tell me. Who are you picking?
I'm going Titans +10. I don't know that the Titans can pull off another upset, but I think with that defense, they can definitely keep it close.
All right, Ron, I believe you're wrong on this one. Ravens are quite possibly the team to beat this year in the playoffs. They have impressed me every time I've seen them. Strong on the QB front, possibly MVP right there behind the ball. And great offense, great defense. Rams laying 10. You give those points.
All right. And then going into the first game on Sunday, we've got the Texans facing off with number two seed Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs giving 10 points. Who do you like?
Oh, the Chiefs minus, listen, they could be giving 15 points and I would still lay them.
I gotta agree with you on this one. Houston barely made it past the Bills at home. I don't think they compete with Kansas City on the road. I'm taking the Chiefs -10. And so our final game of the divisional round, we've got the Seattle Seahawks going into Lambeau Field, playing those Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers. Green Bay favored by 5. Who do you got?
I'm going to say this. I'm not confident, so I don't know that I would put my own money on this. I like Green Bay. They're not laying that many points, only 5. I would not be surprised if the Seahawks cover, but I to me, Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs, I think you got to give him the benefit of the doubt.
All right. Packers have had some stinker games this year. Seattle has been coming on strong at the end. They proved in Philadelphia they can play in some cold weather. I like Seattle getting 5 points. So looks like we only agree on one of them. So we'll have to see who comes out on top next week.
Now, my question to you is, are we wagering on this?
I mean, you know, you won the cheesesteak and the roast pork and broccoli rabe sandwich. Do you want to go double or nothing?
I was going to twist it a little bit. Okay. I will be seeing you in a couple of weeks.
Very true.
Correct. Do you want to bet dinner?
I would be perfectly fine with wagering dinner.
I say let's wager dinner.
All right. Done and done. So, as always, bet with your head, not over it. If you have a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. But in the meantime, I think we need to get into it. We need to talk about the one subject that's been on the lips of every person around the world this past week.
I mean, it's been such an there's so much going on, but every story, every conversation that has taken place has brought eyes to the same subject. It's the thing that we have seemingly has the entire world talking to each other, watching, reading, absorbing from. It's painfully this has been one of the most monumental weeks in recent history. I mean, the internet has just been ablaze.
And of course, we are talking about the Jeopardy greatest of all time tournament. The third match in the tournament actually going on right now as we record this episode. Brian, are you a Jeopardy fan?
I am a Jeopardy fan, but I was not thrilled with this. I was not thrilled this week with the first episode of the Goat Challenge.
Really? Why is that?
It feels like they are too comfortable. They're having fun. The Jeopardy that I have enjoyed, that I've fallen in love with, are three people who are not comfortable, incredibly nervous, stressed out, overthinking everything. And that's the Jeopardy that I want to watch. I don't remember the names of the people that are, I know Ken Jennings is one of them, but I was kind of hoping, to see these guys taking it a little bit more seriously.
Well, so the matchup is, so as you said, it is Ken Jennings, who still holds the record for most consecutive wins in Jeopardy history with 74. You have Brad Rutter, who holds holds the record of most money ever won on Jeopardy with $4.78 million. Also holds the record of most money ever won in U.S. game shows. And then you have James Holzhauer, who became a sensation this past year with his aggressive style of play, set, I think, 20 Jeopardy records in his run. So three talented players. Did you catch the first two episodes?
I watched half of the first one and said, I'm kind of done.
Okay, fair enough. Well, Ken Jennings pulled off the win in game one, winning by 200 points. Really a great contest. I mean, I don't know what's going on with this third matchup, but Brad Rutter has been a non-entity in these first two matches. Basically, they play two back-to-back Jeopardy games in an hour, and the total combined score wins. Brad Rutter's come in third by a significant margin. Didn't even make Final Jeopardy in the second round of last night's game. But last night, James Holzhauer pulled it out, so it was tied at 1-1. I'm enjoying it. I mean, tremendously difficult questions, which these guys aren't missing. I mean, I think in the first game in day one, they did not miss a single question between the three of them.
Yeah, that doesn't entertain me. It's that show's supposed to be challenging. There are one of the joys of Jeopardy, at least you know that I get, is watching somebody just get crushed on a double Jeopardy, where you know they've put all their money up because they want to take a commanding lead, and they mispronounce a word, and Alex goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, we were looking for what is." Trepidatious. Oh, I'm sorry. Well,
I mean, they actually did have that situation the other night because one of the categories was 20 letter words, and there was an instance where Brad Rutter screwed it up by a letter, and Ken Jennings hopped in and got it, and then James Holzhauer missed one, and Ken Jennings hopped in again. I mean, these are insanely difficult categories that they've been given these guys, and the Final Jeopardy questions have been insane.
Let me ask you a question because I don't think I've ever watched Jeopardy with you. Do you shout out the answers when you're watching Jeopardy?
I do, yes.
Now, during these shows, how many have you gotten correct?
Depending on the categories, I can do quite well in a given game.
Really?
You know, I'm very good in general trivia. Get me on some of that tougher stuff like history, language, religion. I got no clue. But Potent Potables is a favorite of mine. Potpourri, if you will.
Right.
you know, but I've tried to take the Jeopardy online test. Never done well enough to get invited to the big show.
Okay, that's a shame.
What are you going to do?
There's really not much you can do.
No, not at all.
Now, what other categories do you like?
What other categories
you said
do I like?
Potables. Yeah.
I mean, it depends. It depends on the questions in the category too. I don't like
how do you
the.
How do you do in the anal bum cover category?
The tits now.
What about catch the semen?
You know, the one category they did the other time was it was like rhyme time, and you had to come up with three different rhyming words with like three different clues within one clue, and that just made my head spin.
Okay, yeah, I would imagine.
I was just like, I can't. Yeah, I just can't.
It's a rough show.
Yes. Well, sorry, we got sidetracked on Jeopardy. There has been one other story, obviously, that's been huge this past week. People are, every time you turn on TV, every time you turn on the news, people are talking about it. You go to your coffee store, your baristas are talking about it. It's Megxit. You know, Meghan Markle and Prince Harry stepping away from the royal family, making a proclamation the other day that apparently caught the royal family off guard.
Now, I have a question, which is the fact that hasn't this been something that they've been talking about lately?
I don't know that they were talking about it in public. From what I've read, there was apparently a conversation between Prince Harry and his father, Prince Charles, prior to the holidays, where he stated that, you know, he and Meghan were going to take some time in the new year to travel to North America and, you know, Canada and things like that. And so, you know, Prince Charles, you know, I guess kind of punted and was like, well, go talk to your grandmother about it. So, you know, apparently Prince Harry tried to get a meeting with Queen Elizabeth. Apparently her handlers like blocked that meeting. So it sounded like Harry and Meghan felt like they had no choice but to just bring it out in the public so that it would have to be dealt with.
Now, can I ask you, and obviously this is something that's been just all over the news. It's all, you know, it's impossible not to see, you know, the civil war that is going on in the royal family right now. But one of the reasons that Harry has given for why he is, shunning the public eye with his family now is this rough treatment of Meg that he has witnessed by the tabloids in England. As I'm not as much of an Anglophile as you are, Ron, maybe you can shed some light on this for me. But what is it that she has really been suffering from?
So, you know, Meghan Markle is mixed race. You know, she is half African-American. And so there has been a tremendous amount of racism that she has faced in the public and in the media. I know the Daily Mail had to apologize to her due to some comments they made prior to the wedding. I know a lot of people in the country had an issue with a royal marrying someone, marrying someone that was considered a minority to them. So, yeah, I mean, she's had a very brutal time with the position that she's in.
Now, I always thought that there was a rule that they had to marry somebody that was also a royal.
I don't know that that's the case, because I don't think Kate Middleton was royalty. Princess Diana was an American school teacher.
Ron. Yes. No. Princess Diana was royalty.
Well, when she married Spencer. The prince, yes.
No, before she was Lady Spencer.
No, she became Lady of the House of Spencer when she married Prince Charles. Sarah Ferguson was not royalty either. I mean, you've seen Sarah Ferguson. That woman was not royalty.
The Spencer family is British royalty.
Yeah, I think you're lying to me.
I'm looking it up right now in Wikipedia, and we know that anything in Wikipedia is true. Also, and I think you're going to have to give Fergie a slight waiver on this one, because we all know that Prince Andrew is a complete fucking monster. And when I say he's a fucking monster, is the fact that he likes to fuck monsters, and those monsters are children.
Yes, underage girls arranged for him by Jeffrey Epstein.
Speaking of which, right now, starting in 10 minutes from, you know, we are recording, ABC is airing a 2-hour special on Jeffrey Epstein. This is a story that will not go away. Right now, ABC is going to be airing interviews with some of Jeffrey Epstein's accusers, some who were assaulted by, and, you know, raped by Mr. Epstein when they were teenage girls.
I mean, you know, unlike Jeffrey Epstein, this is the story that won't die.
No.
So the news came out this week that during, because you remember before Jeffrey Epstein supposedly successfully committed suicide, he had a first suicide attempt, and it was announced this week that the video outside of his cell during that first suicide attempt was accidentally erased. They kept the video from the wrong floor on the detention center.
Yeah, that sounds kind of suspicious.
This is after the camera outside his cell during the second suicide and successful suicide attempt was malfunctioning.
Yeah, there's something specific. And what the problem that I have, and I can say this as somebody who lives in New York City, is the fact that whenever there's any type of incident that takes place in Rikers Island, even downtown, the local news airs the videos of this stuff. You know, so the fact that not only once but twice were videos outside of his area, which were a special holding block, suddenly the videos go missing, I find it highly suspicious.
Well, and, you know, I guess there is the slight possibility that Jeffrey Epstein did not kill himself. He didn't kill himself. But it certainly does not help the conspiracy theory when things like this happen.
Right. And then also coincidentally today, pictures of Bill Clinton on standing outside Jeffrey Epstein's personal plane, which has been dubbed the Lolita Express, were released. So now there's evidence that Bill was on the plane. And during the ABC special that they're going to be airing, one of the accusers was on the plane with Bill Clinton. Though shockingly, and obviously this woman has been paid off, she's claiming that Bill was nothing but a total gentleman and that there was no sexual activity going on around Bill at the time.
I mean, I guess it's possible. Anything could happen. Well, again, I mean...
All I'm going to say is this, and then we can put this issue together, is that if you expect me to believe that, and they have pictures of this girl around the time when she was on the Lolita Express with Bill, that he was not going to throw a move on her at that time, but he threw a move on Monica Lewinsky. I have a hard time believing that.
I mean,
the man does not suddenly obtain standards.
I understand, and I see what you're saying. I mean, I guess there may be something to what you're bringing to the table here.
I'm just saying that this woman is obviously somebody has gotten to her because she does not want us to say insert her name, did not kill herself. While a picture of Hillary Clinton laughing is posted right above her name.
Interesting.
I think, you know what, Ron, I think we're done, right? That's pretty much everything that took place this week that was important.
No,
right?
I mean, this, we've got some news here. Again, people just really not able to stop talking about this. And celebrity obituaries, Brian. We lost some big ones this week. You know, early on in the week, we lost former Bengals coach Sam Wyche, passing mm-hmm. away at the age of 74. He was coach of the Bengals for starting in 84, remained in Cincinnati through 91. His 64 wins with the Bengals are the second most in franchise history behind Marvin Lewis, and led them to the franchise's second Super Bowl appearance in Super Bowl 23. Where they were defeated by the 49ers 20-16. Although I will always remember Coach Weich as the man who, when at a Cincinnati home game where the referees were threatening to force the team to forfeit because the fans were throwing snowballs on the field, grabbed the microphone and yelled at everybody saying, "You're not from Cleveland, you're from Cincinnati, and I expect better." So he was always a guy that was willing to push the rivalry. So I appreciated that.
A classy person.
Yes. Who else did we lose this week, Brian?
All right. Well, we lost quite a few, and we lost Buck Henry, famous comedy writer, really came into his own with The Graduate, which a lot of people do not realize that he wrote. Passed away at 89. Also co-created the TV show Get Smart.
I didn't realize that. So, I mean, look at that resume. Wrote The Graduate, co-created Get Smart, was on the early years of Saturday Night Live.
Hosted Saturday Night Live when they would put a writer as the host. Like, he wasn't a forward face. He was just a comedy writer, and they would put him. He hosted the show 10 times during the early years. Also passing away this week, Nick Gordon, the former boyfriend of Bobby Christina Brown, who drowned in a pool in her house. You may remember her as the daughter of Whitney Houston, who drowned in her bathtub in a hotel. Also passing away this week was Elizabeth Wurtzel, author of the best-selling Prozac Nation book
that was
quite big during the 90s. But we also lost some other people you may not remember. Silvio Horta, who was the creator of the American version of Ugly Betty, took his life with a handgun in Miami earlier this week. Last but not least was Alexis Eddy, who starred on the MTV reality show Are You the One? I mean, a lot of people dying this week, it's a shame. There's somebody else here. I don't know if he counts or anything. General Qasem Soleimani.
Wait, I don't know. You passed over, I think, the biggest celebrity obituary of the week, Brian, and that was jazz great Jack Sheldon. Known for his work on The Merv Griffin Show, but more importantly, on Schoolhouse Rock, passing away at the age of 88. I mean, come on, who does not know Schoolhouse Rock?
I have not seen it in years.
I mean, he was the voice behind such classics as Conjunction Junction and I'm Just a Bill. So you name me two better Schoolhouse Rock songs than those two.
I'm going to say, and out of no disrespect to him, he was not the head of the Quds elite fighting force in Iran.
And who was?
General Qasem Soleimani, who also somehow made our list of celebrity deaths, but I don't know that he really had much of an impact on the world this week.
Did he die?
Yes, he did die. He was in Baghdad this week, and I guess we'll talk about it because we're already there. He was in Baghdad this week. I guess he was vacationing with the fam and was literally just minding his own business when some bad luck happened. I'm not really sure the details are not the kind of thing that really would make the news, but Iran's General Qasem Soleimani passed away, and thoughts and prayers going out to his family.
I mean, did the people of Iran notice that this gentleman had been killed?
There seemed to be some, obviously his milkman was affected greatly because he was informed no longer bring 3 quarts of milk every week. We only need you to bring 2 now. The head of the household is not here. Deeply affected, Soleimani's dog, Sparkles. Mm. He is sitting at the bottom of his rocking chair, waiting for his owner to come home so he can play fetch.
So it's kind of like that Futurama episode where Fry's dog just waits for him.
I've never watched Futurama.
Really?
Yeah, I never watched it. But really, other than that, I don't believe many people in Iran were affected. unless you know something I'm not aware of.
I mean, his funeral did draw out a few hundred thousand people. There was a bit of a kerfuffle with them shouting death to America for a while. And I believe a little stampede where 60 people died.
If you know that your funeral was lit when there is a stampede at your funeral and 60 people die because you died, like, that, if that's not the ultimate credibility banner, if there's nothing that says that you've got swag is when 60 people die at your funeral, I don't know the, I don't know any other way that you can go into heaven, you know, with your head up high as somebody who was so important to people that they were crushed to death mourning your loss.
And then apparently Iran decided to fire off a whole lot of missiles against our base there in Iraq. And how bad must it suck to be Iraq at this point? Because you've asked, you've basically, like, America went in there to set up a democracy. So you set up a democracy, and Iraq votes 170-0 saying, hey, U.S. military, if you could maybe get the hell out of our country, that'd be great right now. The U.S. says, eh, we're not going to leave. And then Iran's like, well, we're just going to come in and we're going to potentially start a war, you know, on your land.
Well, it kind of says to me that even Iran understands that, you know, nobody wants to fight a war on their home turf. So if we can find a third party where we can have this war, let's do it. Actually, and I feel like Iran was, how do I say, I feel like Iran's response to having, you know, one of the most powerful people in their country executed by America, I felt like their response was tepid. I was expecting much worse. I think we as a country were expecting worse. They literally launched rockets into a army base that we had enough time to basically hide all of our soldiers.
Well, I think, you know,
they showed incredible restraint.
From what I hear, from what I read, from what the experts are saying, is that, you know, Iran was in a situation where they needed to do something to show their people that they were, you know, having some sort of response towards the United States. But they also did not want to get an all-out war with the U.S., knowing that that would end probably very poorly for them. So what a lot of people feel is this was a way for them to, you know, have a military strike against the U.S. And the propaganda that they are spinning inside of Iran, you know, Iranian news is reporting, you know, U.S. casualties upwards of 200 people, when in fact there were no U.S. casualties.
How do you know that? I'm not playing.
Now, again, our government could be providing us with propaganda, too. But I would imagine if there were U.S. casualties, that President Trump would be using that as an excuse to go full nuclear at this point.
Oh, I would say that he would do the complete opposite, because I think it would be an embarrassment to him that his actions helped cause the death of Americans.
But he would still find a way to spin it. I don't know. I guess you and I look at this differently, I suppose.
I actually am suspicious that there were no American losses during the attack. I have a hard time believing that we're just going to let that thing slide.
It's definitely a unique situation. The House did today pass a resolution trying to limit President Trump's power to declare war without congressional approval, which I'm sure will be sent to the Senate and sit on Mitch McConnell's desk, along with all of the other bills that have sat there for the past year. So I don't think anything's going to happen with that, but they did make that effort. Also, I can tell you now, Ken Jennings has won the third match, apparently in a runaway. Jeopardy James and Brad Rutter could not mount much of a defense. So Ken Jennings goes up 2-1-0 in this best of, well, somebody's got to get to 3. So he could potentially finish this thing off tomorrow night.
Oh, so this continues tomorrow?
It continues till somebody wins 3 games. So it'll...
It's not like a best of 4, like, it's, you just keep playing?
I mean, I guess technically it would be a best of. The most they could play would be seven. So
best of seven. Okay,
it's best of seven, but whoever gets to three first. So, I mean, if he gets to three tomorrow, it's over. If James wins the next two, it's over. If Brad manages to win the next three, it's over. So long story short, Ken Jennings needs one more win. James needs two. And Brad Rutter still stinks, needing all three wins to get back into it.
Now, these shows were recorded previously, correct?
They were recorded. Some people feel that the winner may have been leaked due to some betting that happened overseas, some sportsbook changes. Apparently, there were places that were taking wagers on the Jeopardy Greatest of All Times tournament.
And do we know what the betting kind of... Like, this is what I have a hard time with. I have a hard time believing something that has been pre-recorded. Now, it could have happened earlier in the day, it could have happened weeks ago, but somehow it's treated like news. Like, to me, news is current events, something that's what took place today. I don't believe, and I have a hard time embracing the news being like, this show was on TV today, even though it was recorded weeks ago, and everybody involved, including the studio audience, knows exactly what happens.
But aren't we considered news, and we're actually being recorded?
Well, yeah, but it's not as if someone's going, but it's not as if we, you know, we perform this in front of a group of people and then wait a couple weeks to release it. And I mean, we record this and it is in the ears of the public within hours.
I mean, you know, I guess I look at it like how they used to handle the World Series of Poker. I mean, now it's you know, almost live, but before it used to be recorded and they'd wait a few months and then ESPN would play it like we didn't already know for, you know, months at a time who had won it.
That's a good point. No. I that is a good point. I remember watching that. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Fair enough.
Valid. I'll take it.
All right. I don't think we have anything additional. I think we covered a lot this week. Maybe we'll have a Jeopardy champion next week.
Do you want to talk about the guy on Grindr who ate the testicles of his date, Kevin Bacon?
If you would like to.
Or do you want to save that for Patreon?
You know what? I think that's a tease.
You know what? I wish I hadn't brought it up, because now our listeners are going to sit there and say, my goodness, I wonder what Ron's hot take is on a hairstylist by the name of Kevin Bacon being killed and having his testicles eaten by a date that he met on Grindr. But we're going to save that for Patreon, which can be found by going to patreon.com/ Ron and Brian podcast. You can find the link on our website at Ryan Brian at the Ron and Brian podcast.com. You can reach out to us personally on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We will happily share that link. I mean, really, there's some great stories that we've got lined up there. Love to talk about it, but we're going to save that for the people that are willing to crack open those dusty wallets. And we put out a lot of free entertainment, but I think it's time for us to show people exactly what we're handing out for the people that truly show love to the Ron and Brian family.
I mean, we're not asking a lot, you know, $5 a month maybe. I mean, I think, you know, you probably spend that. I mean, knock off, like, don't have a Frappuccino a month. Like, cut out a latte, and you can get great quality content each and every week. And if you subscribe at some of the higher levels, you get yourself some Ron and Brian swag as well. So go to ronandbrianpodcast.com. Link to Patreon's in the upper right-hand corner. You can find our links to our social media so you can vote on This Week in Racism. And, of course, all of our links to listen, rate, review, and subscribe. Brian, anything else before we head on out this week?
Cut out your latte, and you'll get a latte more of the Ron and Brian podcast.
Ooh, I like that. Maybe we'll put that on a t-shirt and give that away to people. All right, we'll see you all next week, everybody.